Time of great rejoicing in the palace, for a prince has just been born. And near the throne in the king's court, there's a lively discussion going on as the king's advisors are making their suggestion about the best way to announce the wonderful news to the world. Some have come up with very elaborate ways to publicize and celebrate this great event. And all but one have expressed their opinion. And so the king turns to him and says, "What do you think? Do you have any suggestions as what we should do? Any ideas?" "Well," came the reply, "I think that we should send a messenger out at night into the fields to tell the shepherds about it." "What a ridiculous idea." That's how many might have responded. Can we have the PowerPoint? Oh, I can't see it. Sorry. Okay. When Prince Louis was born to Prince William and Kate Middleton back in April this year, his birth was announced the traditional royal way. It was a framed announcement mounted on an ornate pedestal and placed in front of Buckingham Palace. And there was also a town crier who announced the birth vocally as well. And I'm sure in today's high-tech age, I'm sure that Prince William and Kate would have used social media, such as Twitter or email, to announce the joyous occasion. And yet, when we read the passage from the Gospel of Luke, the way God announced the birth of Jesus Christ was an angel telling the good news to shepherds in the fields at night. God's way are certainly not our way, are they? Listen as I read those very familiar words in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2. It's from the New Living Translation, beginning of verse 8. "That night, there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terrified, but the angel reassured them. 'Do not be afraid,' he said. 'I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. And you will recognize him by this sign. You will find a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth, lying in a manger.' Suddenly, the angel was joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven, praising God and saying, 'Glory to the God in highest heaven, and peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased.' When the angels had returned to heaven, the shepherds said to each other, 'Let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about.'" Somehow, when we read about the shepherds coming to the manger and seeing the Christ child wrapped snugly in strips of cloth, it kind of makes me feel warm inside. Shepherds at that time, they're not known for their piety or their faithfulness. They were an uneducated lot. They were considered religious outcasts, economically disadvantaged, and social rejects. And yet, God's angel went to them and invited them to come and see the baby Jesus. If shepherds are important to God, then we're important to God as well. God loves the common people. God loves you and I. Now let's turn to another very familiar passage in Matthew chapter 2, beginning with verse 1. Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the reign of King Herod. About that time, some wise men from eastern lands arrived in Jerusalem asking, "Where is the newborn King of the Jews? We saw his star as it rose, and we have come to worship him." King Herod was deeply disturbed when he heard this, as was everyone else in Jerusalem. He called a meeting of the leading priests and teachers of religious law and asked, "Where is the Messiah supposed to be born?" "In Bethlehem in Judea," they said. "For this is what the prophet wrote: And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not among the ruling cities of Judah, for a ruler will come from you who will be the shepherd for my people Israel." Then Herod called for a private meeting with the wise men, and he learned from them the time when the star first appeared. Then he told them, "Go to Bethlehem and search carefully for the child. And when you find him, come back and tell me so that I can go and worship him too." And after this interview, wise men went their way, and the star they had seen in the east guided them to Bethlehem. They went ahead of them and stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were filled with joy. They entered the house and saw the child with his mother, Mary, and they bowed down and worshiped him. Then they opened their treasure chests and gave him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. When it was time to leave, they returned to their own country by another route, for God had warned them in a dream not to return to Herod. The story of the wise men is also a story of love, worship, and adoration. If shepherds were on one end of the spectrum of society, then the wise men would be on the other end. Wise men at that time represented the aristocrats. They were rich, educated, and they were learned. And they too were important to God. Whenever we think of shepherds and wise men gathering in a manger with a baby Jesus, we invariably would think of the nativity scene, like what you find here on my left side. We find joy, love, peace, and worship. What are your thoughts when you see such a scene? But when we think of King Herod, we see darkness, we see hatred, and death. In verse 16 of the Matthew passage, we read this terrible statement. When Herod realized that he had been outwitted by the Magi, he was furious, and he gave orders to kill all the boys in Bethlehem and its vicinity who were 2 years old and under. Why do people react like Herod? Why are some people filled with love, joy, happiness, and hope at the good news of Jesus' birth, while others are filled with hatred, fear, darkness, despair? I think we can learn something about that as we look at these passages again, about the shepherd, about the wise men, about Herod. And hopefully, through all this, Christmas will be more meaningful to us. So the first point I want to start with is God works with people who are ready to receive his message. I think God chose to announce to the shepherds and the wise men the wonderful news of the coming of Jesus Christ because they were prepared for that event. Somehow, the soil of their hearts and minds have been plowed and made ready for the planting of that glorious news. Who would understand the idea of sacrifice better than shepherds? Has anyone here been to the Holy Land, especially around Jerusalem? If you did, you would know that Bethlehem is very close to Jerusalem. Linda and I visited the Holy Land back in 2014, and it was a lifetime experience that we would never forget. And While we were in Jerusalem, we visited the hills where the shepherds watched over their flocks. And this is called Shepherd's Field. Okay. And the bus took us from our hotel in Jerusalem to Bethlehem. It was about a nine kilometers apart. And it took us about a half an hour to get there because we had to change bus driver because in order to go to Bethlehem, it has to be a Palestinian driver. And then we also went through a number of security checkpoints as well. But history tells us that many of the sheep raised on those hills between Jerusalem and Bethlehem were specifically to be used as sacrifices at the temple at Jerusalem. You see, once a year, every Jewish family was supposed to come to Jerusalem and offer sacrifices in the temple for their sins. And the animals that they would sacrifice was often a lamb. Many didn't bother to bring a sacrificial lamb with them because of the long journey from their homes to Jerusalem. In those days, many would travel on average between 3 to 5 days to get to Jerusalem. And many would travel by foot or on donkeys. So instead of bringing their lamb all that way, they would wait until they got to Jerusalem and bought their lamb in a marketplace there. So these shepherds knew about sacrifice. They spent all their lives on the hills outside of Bethlehem, watching little lambs being born and raising them to maturity and realizing that one day the firstborn male would be purchased and offered at the temple in Jerusalem as sacrifices for the sins of the people. The shepherds may also realize that sin was so awful in God's sight that it required the shedding of blood and the giving of life. So how appropriate that these shepherds should be the first ones to hear about the Lamb of God who would be the Savior, Christ the Lord, who takes away the sin of the world. So they were ready for God's message. Their minds were uncomplicated. They were not theologians. They didn't have any reasons not to believe. They just believed. Their hearts and their souls were ready. And when God spoke to them through the angels, they listened and accepted the news with great joy. The wise men were also ready. They probably studied the teachings of the great prophets of Israel. Most likely they came from the region where Daniel, the prophet, had such a great influence and power. Did they have some of the prophecies of Daniel that we don't know about today? Maybe. I don't know for sure. But somehow, based on their studies, they were waiting and hoping. And when they saw that bright light, that shining star, they knew that it meant something special. They recalled all of the things that they had learned, and they were ready to make that journey because they knew that star meant that a new king had been born, and they wanted to go and worship him. They were ready and prepared for Christmas. But what about King Herod? Was he ready? Verse 3 of the Matthew passage tells us that he was disturbed along with all of Jerusalem when the wise men came inquiring about the newborn king of the Jews. Have you ever wondered why Herod didn't see the stars? If it was bright enough for wise men to see in a faraway country, it would have been bright enough for Herod to see it too, right there in Jerusalem. Why didn't Herod hear the announcements of the angels? Why didn't he see the heavens lit up on that Christmas night? He could have seen. He could have heard. But somehow, he didn't have the eyes to see, nor the ears to listen. Christmas came to Herod as surely as it came to the shepherds and the wise men. But Herod didn't know it. because Harold was not ready or prepared. You see, if we resist God, if we ignore or reject what he has done through Jesus Christ, then Christmas will come on December 25th, as it has always, but it will mean nothing to us because our hearts are cold and insensitive to what God is trying to tell us. Christmas is almost here, just a couple more weeks away. Are you prepared? Is your heart ready? Are your ears sensitive? Can you hear God telling you of his love for you? The second point is God works with people who are willing to take a journey of faith. When the shepherds heard the message and the wise men saw the star, they were willing to step out and take a journey of faith. I love the words of the shepherd. Shortly after the angels went back into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." They didn't say, "Oh, let's go to Bethlehem and see if this thing's for real." They didn't question the message of God. They didn't question the announcement of the angel. They didn't sit around to think or discuss how, humanly speaking, it didn't make a lot of sense. No, they just went to Bethlehem to see the newborn baby. It was a journey of faith for them. How about those wise men? Have you ever put yourself in their place? Can't you see them standing out in their front yard, getting their camels ready for the long journey? They were loading up their saddlebags with clothes, food, the gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And just then some neighbors would walk by and ask, "Hey, what are you guys doing?" The wise men replied, "We're getting ready to take a trip." "Where are you going?" "Well, we're really not sure." "Do you have a map?" "No, we're just going to follow that star." "Oh, what are you going to find when you get there?" "We're going to find a newborn king." "What's the king's name?" "We don't know. All we know is that we've seen the star, and we're going to follow it until it leads us to him. And then we're going to worship him." For both the shepherds and the wise men, it was definitely a journey of faith. And faith doesn't make sense to people who don't know God's message, who don't want to know God's message, who don't share the same faith. It was a journey of faith, and faith can only be explained by a heart that is open to what God is trying to tell them. For Harold, there was no faith. He heard about the newborn king from the wise men. The wise men came to his palace and asked, "Where is the one who is born king of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." When Harold heard this, he was deeply troubled. "What? A newborn king of the Jews? Where is he? I haven't heard about any new king." Quickly, he assembled the chief priests, who told him that the prophets had foretold that the Messiah, Christ the ruler, would be born in Bethlehem. You know the story. Harold sent the wise men on. He had an opportunity to learn about the new king, but he didn't have the eyes of faith or heart that believed. So while Christ, the new king, was born only a few kilometers away, he was not ready to receive him, because there was no faith in his heart. That's the problem, isn't it? That's the problem back then. It's the problem even today. There's a whole lot of things that can't be explained. How do you explain a virgin birth? How do you explain the heavens opening up and the angels announcing the good news? How do you explain a mysterious star shining above and leading the wise men to the manger? How do you explain all the drama and glory and wonder? It's all divine. It can only be understood with the heart and mind of faith. Before Christmas will ever be real to us, our journey must also be a journey of faith. We must realize that we will never completely understand all the wonders of God's love, but in faith, we can be ready to accept it. The third point, the last point, God works with people who are willing to make the sacrifice. The wise men and the shepherd, they were willing to pay the price and make the sacrifice. Think about the shepherds. When they said, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see the thing that the Lord has told us about," that was a major decision. When they went to Bethlehem, they had to leave their flocks behind. Everything they owned was wrapped up in their flocks. That was their livelihood. And it was also nighttime when the wolves would come out and attack the flocks. So it took some sacrifice on their part. They had to say, "We will leave behind all that we have and go and seek the Lamb of God. And we will trust our flock to God, who will watch over them." We don't know what transpired between them and the baby Jesus when they met, but something dramatic must have happened. Luke chapter 2, verse 20 tells us that they returned to their workplace, glorifying and praising God for all the things they have heard. The wise men were willing to pay a price too. They left behind their families and businesses and all that was familiar and dear to them. They left it all to follow a star, to travel a long and possibly dangerous journey, just to pay homage to a new king, to give him their gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. What about Harold? Did he make any sacrifice? No. When Harold heard about the birth of a new king, what does he do? He rushes back to his throne and puts his arms around it, saying, "Where is he?" He wants to cling to all that is his power, his prestige, his gold, his silver. He was afraid that he was going to lose them all. So, Christmas means surrender and sacrifice. It means that the eternal sovereign God looked down and saw us, his people, hopelessly lost and dying in our sins and in desperate need of a Savior. So what does God do? He surrendered his glory and his power. He became a human being like one of us, born into this world that we live in as a baby. He grew up, walked among us, he breathed our dust. He allowed us to persecute him, spit on him, drive nails into his hands and feet. That's surrender. That's sacrifice. And that's love. The true message of Christmas is summed up in Luke chapter 2, verses 10 to 11. There we have the angel announcing the coming of the Savior. "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord." The shepherds came, they saw, and then they returned, glorifying and praising God, telling others what they have seen and heard. Man's praise and worship of God for the revelation of his glory since that night has not ceased. Neither the skeptic's doubt, the mocker's scorn, the public's apathy, the crowd's ridicule, the pagan's blasphemy, the executioner's sword, the devil's lies. None of these things have diminished the hope that was born that night, nor has it dimmed the glorious dawn of his glory that continues to radiate down through the years and envelops your heart and mine. In order to show that this tiny babe wrapped in swaddling clothes came for a purpose, the manger and the cross must be seen together. Jesus Christ came to this world to die for your sins, my sins, and the sins of the world. Without the shedding of blood, there can be no remission of sin. And throughout the Bible, we see that the penalty for sin is death. Christ is the one who paid that penalty for us. He paid the penalty in full, and we are free from condemnation when we accept that free gift of love. The small infant's hands that were later nailed to a rugged cross are the hands that so often lovingly reach down and pick us up during the difficulties of life. The one that we see in the manger is fully God and fully human, who came to die so that you and I could receive the greatest gift of all, eternal life. Your best Christmas gifts comes not from the beautifully wrapped presents under a tree, but from the one lying in a wooden manger in the town of Bethlehem, the one whose birthday we'll be celebrating in a couple of weeks. So here we are. Some of us, maybe like the shepherds, we may not have much, we may not know much, we may not know a lot that the world considers important, but we're ready to listen to what God has to say. Others may be like the wise men, highly educated, searching for the truth, asking a lot of questions, and knowing that his promise is that if we truly seek him with all our hearts, we will find him. And there are others in between as well. But unfortunately, there are many who are like Harold, who are antagonistic against God, who hate him rather than love him, and will not receive whatever God has to offer. Every year at Christmas time, it seems that this great line is drawn in the sand. On the one side are the people who are like the shepherds and the wise men, coming to Jesus to worship him and to adore him. And on the other side, there are people like Harold, who stand hard and cold, resisting all that God is trying to do in their lives. Into which category do you fall? Which side of the line are you standing? Who best represents you? You know, God wants to take all the heralds in this world and make them into shepherds or wise men. But that can only happen when you're willing for it to happen, when you're prepared to receive his message, when you're willing to make that journey of faith, and when you're willing to surrender to him. The invitation is extended this morning, and God invites you to come to his manger, to come to his throne, to come to his cross, and to know and receive his love. Will you accept this invitation? Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father,